Sometimes I wonder if it should be just help me. So appreciate that. Actually, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that today. Today's message is about roles in marriage. Rich, I appreciate your candor in sharing about your stepbrother, and our hearts do go out to him, and we're hoping that God can use this whole situation for his good and his glory. You know, it's been interesting. I've been following this this trial in the paper, and I don't know if you've read anything about the testimonies, but no matter, I don't know what's true and what's not about being said, but what you really find out is it's all about relationships. When you read those stories, you find out that this whole trial is really, this whole thing is occurred because of relationships. And sometimes people, we get relationships wrong. And it's because we are not having relationships as God has intended. You know, it seems to me at some point in our society, we dismissed God from the picture and we tried to do relationships on our own. And you know, we just kind of stuck our finger out in the wind and said, okay, let's see how things should go. I think maybe we'll do it this way, or maybe we'll do it that way. And things tend to break down. And I read Psalm 2 this morning. I want to reread verse 3. It says, let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. And that's talking about us as a society speaking to God. Let's break off the chains that God has placed on us. Let's do things our own way. So we decide that, well, sex is fun. Why worry about marriage? Drugs makes me feel good, so it must be okay. And whatever goes, goes. My background is engineering. And I don't know if you remember much about the earthquake in Haiti, but they had a very strong earthquake, and I saw pictures of their version of the White House just, you know, boom, down flat, and buildings everywhere flat. And you know what they found out? They found out the reason why so many of those buildings fell is because they were built with inferior construction materials. If we build anything with inferior materials, guess what's going to happen? It's going to collapse. If we build society with inferior materials, it's going to collapse. And we cannot base society on anything else but God. God is the one we worship. God is also the one who speaks to us. God is the one who directs us. And if we don't do things the way he asks us, and what is he asking us to do? He's asking us to do things according to his character. Why does it say in the Old Testament, thou shalt not lie? Because God is a God of truth. He doesn't lie. There is no lies found in him. Some people say that God can do anything. Well, no, that's not true. God cannot lie. Why not? It's against his character. It's against his character. When we try to build our society on things outside of God, it crumbles. And let's look at our society, where it's at today. We have divorce. We have unwed pregnancies. We have abortion. We have child abuse. We have violence, corruption. We have settled for inferior materials. We've taken God out of the picture and thought we could do it on our own. And guess what? When it's hollow, it breaks down. I saw a picture of a bone that was affected by osteoporosis. That word, what he just said. And it looks, on the outside, it looks perfectly normal. But on the inside, it is corrupted and it just caves in. And, you know, you hear stories about, you know, these little old ladies that are walking along and they fell and broke their hip. And sometimes the doctors say, well, I don't know if they fell and then broke their hip or if their hip just disintegrated and then they fell. It happens. It happens. And it's because the inside of the part of it is weak. And right now, our society is weak because we have built on other materials other than God. In Luke 10, verse 27, God gives us a picture of what he intended. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. God is about relationships. He is a God of relationship. Last time I was talking about the Trinity and how there's perfect relationship within the Trinity. And he uses that as a model for us to understand what our relationships would be. The trouble is we try to create things outside of God's reign and realm. We build with faulty materials, and as a result, we don't have things the way they should be. And one of those things is marriage. And I'd like to suggest to you that we have lost an understanding of what marriage should be. And I'm not talking about those people outside these doors. I'm talking about us. We have lost an understanding of what marriage should be. We have taken the concept of marriage and we made it our own way of getting our own personal satisfaction, our own personal needs met, our own fulfillment, and we've lost the idea, the concept of having marriage demonstrate God's character, for having marriage as a way for raising up godly children. We've thrown that away. It becomes all about us and not about him. Now follow me here. Let me ask you something. What do we usually use as a measure of marital success? Maybe. A lot of times we talk about they've been married so many years, right? Isn't that what we gauge marital success on? I was talking to George back there. How long was that couple married? 74 years? They must have got married when they were both three. But anyway, a lot of times we talk about marriage, successful marriages. They've been married for 25 years, or they've been married for 30 years. They've been married for 50 years. And we say, wow, that's amazing. That must be a successful marriage. Well, when I first moved to Ohio, I met a guy whose mom lived in Cleveland. His dad lived somewhere in the Bahamas. His mom and dad were estranged. They had been married for about 25 years, and they lived apart. You say, hey, there's a good way to have a successful marriage. We'll just live in separate continents. Then we'll get along. Is that what successful marriage is all about? Is it about numbers? It's not about numbers, is it? It's not about numbers. God is a relational being, and he wants us to know how to do relationships. We are relational beings, and we need to look to God to learn how to do relationships. So, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 was written by the Holy Spirit for our benefit. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through about 12, and you can follow along with me if you like. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's pray. Father God, as we enter into this message, Lord God, I just pray you open up our ears, allow us to be hearers of the word, Lord God. And also, Lord, I just pray you open up our hearts and minds so that we could be doers of the word also. Lord, I just pray, transform us from the inside out through the preaching of your word. Father God, I pray you bless this preaching of the word in the name of Jesus. Amen. My first point in this message is wives are to submit or to be submissive to their husbands. Wives are to submit or to be submissive to their husbands. Now, this is a countercultural statement. Yes, I think so. And there's no getting around it. But it's not unlike any other countercultural statement that we make here at the church. We make a lot of countercultural statements, like sex outside of marriage is wrong. Like homosexuality is wrong. Like abortion is wrong. We make lots of countercultural statements. This one, though, tends to get us in trouble. So let's take it apart. Let's look at it. Let's unpack this scripture and understand what it's saying to us. First of all, the passage begins with these words, wives in the same way. Now, when I read that, I want to look back and see what it's talking about. What same way? Some translations use the word likewise. Like what? And if we look back, we read that Peter is appealing to slaves to be like Christ and endure mistreatment. So that's the context. Slaves endure mistreatment. Then it goes to wives, likewise. Boy, it doesn't get much happier than that, does it? Thank you, Brother Paul, for that blessed message. Can I have that gift card back? But if we get into the heart of this message, we will understand what that's really talking about. So I want to get into this. I want to look at several principles here and implications so that we can understand what this is talking about. My first implication I want to tell you about really goes to the young women of this church, which most of them went to Sunday school class. Can you hear me from here? All right. Well, tell them when they get home. The first thing is, don't marry a man you can't submit to. Don't marry a man you can't submit to. Does that sound like folly? You know, you got this. Let me give you an example. I've shared this before. A pastor friend of mine was sharing about an experience he had when he was doing a repeat of church vows for an older couple of his church. They're celebrating, I don't know what number what year of marriage they were celebrating, but as part of that celebration, they wanted to repeat their vows. And when they got to the part where he said to the woman to love, honor, and obey her husband, she looked at the pastor and said, "Obey that fool?" And he said, "You know, what do you say there?" Well, don't marry a fool in the first place. If you can't obey that fool, don't marry him. You know, the fact of the matter is, some guys can't lead themselves out of a paper bag. So don't choose that person to be the leader of your family. You know, you see a lot of young men walking around. You know, they're dressed like little boys. They walk like little boys, even when they got their girlfriend with them. They're walking and their girlfriend's back there somewhere. Is that what you want for your wife, your life, young ladies? Is that what you want? Do not get into a relationship thinking, marry him today, change them tomorrow. Because it doesn't work that way, does it? There's a lot of older women in this congregation that you need to talk to about that, because they'll tell you that doesn't work that way. So look at your intended. Can you submit to him? If not, don't marry him. Don't marry him. Don't have that concept. Marry him today, change him tomorrow. Remember, words, when in traditional marriage ceremonies, there's words about this union being one of the most precious that human beings can experience. Heed those words. It's an important statement. You're entering into one of the most precious relationships that man can experience. Heed these words. Don't marry a fool. Second implication, submission does not mean that women are second class. You know, later on in this passage, it talks about that wives are heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. So in God's eyes, male and female are equal. Male and female are equal, but they're not the same. And we have different roles. And last week I talked about the Trinity, how Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak the words I hear my Father speaking. He was submitted to the Father. And they have different roles. And on this planet, on earth, husband and wife come together with different roles. God has packaged us differently. Women tend to be a little bit more nurturing than men. Men tend to be like, hey, I want to just go out there and do something. I want to kill myself a deer and bring it home and eat it, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, or maybe you're a vegetarian. I'm going to go out there and cut myself some beans. Well, maybe that doesn't work quite as well. But anyway, we are different. Let us enjoy that difference. Let us enjoy that difference. Let us build our marriages with the kind of materials that last, that God says will make a strong foundation. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, one time he was 12 years old, and he thought it'd be a good idea to go to the temple and teach some of these guys a thing or two. And as his parents found him, he said, hey, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? And then he went home with him, and it says this in Luke 2, verse 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and listen to these words, and was obedient to them. This is God, God in the flesh. He was obedient to his earthly parents. He was obedient to fallen, sinful people. That word obedient is the same word submit or submission that I read earlier in 1 Peter chapter 3. Jesus was obedient to his parents. You may say, man, be obedient to my husband? Be submissive to my husband? Yeah. Jesus was obedient to his earthly parents. They were fallen. You can be obedient to your earthly husband, even though he is fallen. Third implication, submission to husbands relate to submission to Christ. You know, we love to sing that song, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. You know what we're singing there is, hey, the Lord, all I want to do, I want to be at the gates of heaven. I'll just swing the door for people as they enter. And I don't even need to go in the inner courts. That's just going to be enough. I'm just going to operate the door. That'll just be enough. We say that. But yet, are we willing to submit ourselves to somebody else? And you know something, folks? We all submit to other people. The Bible talks about submitting to those in authority. When you see that little flashing blue light in your rearview mirror, you pull over. You're submitting to authority. Right? When your boss tells you, hey, I know you don't usually do this, but the custodians are all out on strike. Could you take the trash out when you walk out to your car? You submit to those in authority. Why? Because authorities are God-given. He has established authorities. So we can do the same thing in marriage, can't we? In Ephesians 5:22, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And Colossians 3, verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Why are we doing this? Because it's part of the Lord's design, it's part of the Lord's structure. So if you're willing to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, how come you can't be willing to submit to your husband in the affairs of the world as you're on this planet? Fourth thing is submission comes with great examples. When you look at the Old Testament, you know, it's kind of interesting. When you read about some of the Old Testament saints, you've got some really imperfect people there. You know? You've got some really bad examples there. But you've got some things there you could look at and say, you know what? I can relate to this person. You've got a person in the Old Testament called Sarah. And her husband, Abraham, really messed up sometimes with her. I mean, a couple times he had her lie, and she wound up being in another man's harem. And you might say, man, what was that guy thinking? Well, I'll tell you what he was thinking. He was worried about his own neck. He said, man, if you don't tell them I'm your brother, they're going to kill me. I don't want to die. So instead of trusting God himself, he asked his wife to lie. So she had to trust God. And you know something? God showed himself strong in her behalf. Guys started getting sick. You know, not too interested in women right now. You know? God protected Sarah. God can protect you. Yeah, it takes a lot of courage. As a matter of fact, that's my next thing. Submission to husbands is courageous. It is. It takes a lot of courage. 1 Peter 3, 6, the second half, you are her daughters, talking about Sarah, if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. You know, when couples first get married, the wife thinks she's marrying a knight in shining armor. You know? It's like, man, this guy's great. He loves me. He's going to make me happy. He's going to fulfill all my wants and desires. Look at him. He's just, I could just even picture him on that white horse. And it's going to be so great. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe 3 weeks into the marriage, maybe 3 months into marriage, maybe 3 hours in the marriage, she realizes, you know what? He doesn't quite have everything together like I thought. He doesn't do too good with the checkbook. You know? He seems to get a lot of speeding tickets. What's up with that? And they come to the realization that, how can I follow this guy? Because he doesn't seem to have a clue either. Neither of us have a clue how this thing should go. And it's really hard not to grab the reins away from the guy, you know, say, hey, let me steer this ship. Is this a temptation? Because that's not the role God has placed you in. God has placed you in a different role. And when you usurp somebody else's role, and I really believe in Genesis, that's one of the curse, or one of the things of the curse, that the women want to kind of take over for the men. I think that's a product of the curse. And the reality is, God desires us to do things according to his will and his way. Resist that temptation. Don't give in to fear. All right. Ladies, that's all I have to say to you. Let me turn to the men. All right, guys. Here we go. Point two. Husbands are to be considerate. My goodness. We can be so selfish, can't we? We can just do things our own way without any kind of consideration for our wives. We live in a world today where it's like men are nothing more. Men have become nothing more than grown-up boys. The only difference between men and boys are price of their toys. You know, women may be depressed, run out and buy a $120 dress. Men, when we get depressed, we buy a $24,000 Harley. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can anyone explain to me, in a time where women have supposedly reached equality with men, that we in society treat women so poorly? Can anyone explain to me that? Can anyone tell me why, when an American president takes advantage of a young intern in the White House, how we in society can just kind of like, well, you know, consenting adults? For shame! For shame! And the only thing that happened in that whole situation, yeah, he got impeached, but it was for lying. It was just a slap on the wrist. Where were the feminists saying, this is wrong, he took advantage of a young woman? How come in our society we can kind of just, well, you know, boys will be boys? Is there something wrong? And that is it. That is in a society where we supposedly have equality. Is that being treated fairly? Is that being treated honestly? I see this happen all the time. I see a young couple out together eating in a restaurant. She's sitting there eating her meal in silence while he's talking to one of his buds on the cell phone. What is up with that? Guys, we got to do better than that. Do we cherish our wives? Do we nurture them? I'm not going to even get into those passages in Ephesians. But we have a high calling, men. We have a high calling to be considerate to our wives. Some implications of this. First of all, husbands, we need to be leaders of our families. It says in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. So we have a model there. Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head. Husbands, you are the head of your families. That is an awesome responsibility. And fathers need to quit being rogues. Fathers need to reestablish order in the home. Guys, we need to man up. We need to man up. We need to stop being boys. Boys like to hang out with their buds and do as they please. But if you are married, you are now captain of your ship. And you need to be careful how you steer it. Keep your vessel under control. Guarding and taking care of your wife and your children. Lead them, guide them. That is your job. That is your role. Don't relinquish it to a school system. Don't relinquish it to daycare. Be engaged in the lives of your children. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Be engaged in the life of your wife. Ask her questions. Talk to her. Guide her. Lead her. So many times I've heard this. It's not funny. Where a guy will say, man, you know, I've been married 25 years and man, she ain't looking too good. You know, or they'll say something like, boy, that guy over there, you look at his wife. Man, she's fantastic. I wish I'd married her. Well, you know something? If you had married her, you'd have that, boy, she ain't looking too good. Because you get what you invest in. And guys, if you're investing in your wives, you're going to have a wonderful relationship. And if you're not, if you're investing in the football game, or in you're investing in your fishing boat, or you're investing in your Harley Davidson, you get what you get. I got a beautiful looking Harley. My wife's not looking too good. But my Harley looks great. Husbands, treat your wives with respect as the weaker partner. She is your partner. That is a cool word. She's not your adversary. Oh no, gotta go home to the ball and chain. No! She's your partner. She's rooting for you, and you should be rooting for her. She's not your adversary. You are on the same team. So live with her in an understanding way. Hey, guys, you never notice that your wives are different than you are? Yeah. Not just physically, biologically. Your wives are different every day. Yesterday, it might be mocha. You know, today, it's like coffee black. Flow with it. It's exciting, isn't it? I wonder how she's going to be today. I wonder how she's going to be today. Hey, that's exciting. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How many of you guys are giving up yourselves for your wife? Oh, no, no, she's got to submit to me. So, that means I pick the car we drive. I pick the house we live in. I pick the area we move to. Right? Isn't that what submission is? And then she has to go along with it? Or is it a mentality of, you know what? I want to bless my wife because she's going to be in this house more than I am. So I'm going to pick the house that's going to bless her the best. I'm going to pick the vehicle that she feels the safest in. Goodbye, Harley. All right? Hello, Volvo. Yeah, they're shaped like a box, but they're safe. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Colossians 3, verse 19. Don't be harsh. Understand. Live in an understanding way with one another. My third implication, husbands are to protect your families. Guys, have you ever thought of what the worst thing that could happen to your family is? Boy, well, you don't want to go there, do you? That's what the insurance guy does when he comes to your door. The life insurance salesman, he says, have you planned for the worst? I'll tell you something. I don't think death is the worst. Malachi 2, 14 through 15 says this. You ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of things that can shipwreck a family. I have seen nothing that does quite the damage as divorce. So guys, guard yourselves. Be on guard. Be on guard. Watch what you're looking at. Watch where your fantasies are going. Guard yourself. Matthew 19, verse 6 says, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. You know, I personally, now some of you are going to disagree with me on this, but I personally don't believe that God only has one person intended for you, and that was it, and if you miss that person, too bad, or whatever. I don't personally believe that. I think we have freedom of choice, that we can actually choose our spouses. But I'll tell you something. Once we've chosen that spouse, God affirms it in the heavens. God affirms it in the heavens. Matter of fact, it says in Matthew 18, 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when you walk down the altar and you're saying those I do's, God's applauding and saying, okay, that's it. I amen that here in the heavens. This is your person. This is your person. And I believe that God brings us together in that situation where we're different, and those differences are good, and those differences can produce growth in our lives. I have a friend of mine. He doesn't come to this church. He lives in Canton. But he got married, and he was having some struggles, and I told him time and time again, God is going to change you through this situation. This is going to be a good thing for you. This is going to be a good thing for you because you will learn. First of all, you're going to learn what a selfish individual you are, but I don't think I put it quite bluntly with him. But you're going to learn through this situation, and you're going to grow spiritually through this situation. God's going to use that. God's going to use that, and I believe God does. I believe God uses that. I believe God is sovereign enough to use the wife of your choice to make you into the man he created you to be. So the next time you're thinking, man, she's going to get on my case again, embrace that and say, you know what? Maybe she complains about my driving because I'm a bad driver. And it's time for me to take stop putting the pedal to the metal and pay attention to some signs and stuff. Maybe when she complains that I'm at work a lot, maybe she's really actually saying, I want to spend time with you. You don't need to be at work all that much time. We don't need all that overtime. I'd much rather you be here with me. Listen to your wife, guys. God in heaven, he gave her to you to be the man you need to be. Not to be restrictive, but to bless you so that you can learn and grow and be a better person. Point three in this message. Now I'm going to wrap this up pretty quick because everybody's hungry for all that soup. 1 Peter 3 verse 8 says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Some couples just coexist as roommates. She goes off to her job. He goes off to his job. And there's really no harmony. Each is just doing what they want. But that word harmony in the Greek means oneness of mind. Oneness of mind. So we're working toward the same goals, the same aspirations, the same situations. And that means when you approach a conflict you may be having, you need to look at that conflict from the standpoint of how do we gain mutual satisfaction in this? I heard a Christian psychologist say, it always has to be a win-win. Because if it's a win-lose, then both of you lose. You hear what I'm saying there? Oh, yeah, we got to choose between a cruise or his fishing boat. He doesn't want to go on the cruise. She doesn't want the fishing boat. He wins. He buys the fishing boat. He won, right? No, he lost. They both lost. They both lost. And if she had chosen the fishing or the cruise, you say, well, he lost. No, they both lost. You have to approach everything from the standpoint of what's best for the both of us. We live in harmony. If one of us lose, we both lose because we're a team. We're a team. We're in this together. Genesis 2 verse 24 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. One flesh, one team, one family unit. Not two separate going in different directions. How do we walk that out? Well, we need to be sympathetic with one another. Sympathetic literally means fellow feeling. You feel what they're going through, okay? If she's upset, try to understand why she is upset. It's hard, but guys, enter into her pain. Enter into her pain. Try to find out what's going on in that situation and vice versa. Second thing, love as brothers. That word actually transliterated from the Greek is Philadelphia. Live as brothers. Okay? Be comrades. Don't just have her as a spouse. Have her as your comrade. Your comrade, your confidant, your buddy. So when you're in that restaurant, sitting across the table from her, and you pick up your cell phone and you dial that number, it's her phone you're dialing. Hi, honey. I just wanted to talk to you. You're looking good. All right. Third, be compassionate. Be compassionate. That means friendly of mind. And that Greek word for compassionate is used in Ephesians 4, verse 32. And I won't go there now, but that word has the idea of forgiveness. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. Be tenderhearted. You know, you blow it sometimes, they blow it sometimes. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. And last thing is be humble. I think I finished 10 minutes ago. Okay, be humble. Be humble. Literally means courteous. But if you look in Proverbs 13, verse 10, I'm going to read that in the King James. Only by pride cometh contention. You're having a fight? You have contention? One of you is being prideful, right? Maybe both of you is being prideful. Only by pride cometh contention. So live in harmony with one another. Amen? Stand with me if you will. We got a word from the Lord here today that said, rise and build. Rise and build. So when we build, let's use materials that are not inferior. Let's use materials that reflect God's character. Even in our marriage, we can do this. Even in our jobs, we can do this. Using materials that reflect God's character. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you again, Lord God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we can take your word and live it. Lord God, it's just not something that's way out there, maybe a good idea for some sort of people, but we can actually put this into practice. Father, help us as we endeavor to do this, Lord. I pray for those of us that have been married 5, 10, 15, 20 years or whatever, Lord, that you help us be the spouses that we need to be. And Father God, I pray for the young people that haven't entered into a marriage covenant yet, Lord God, that you would be with them in terms of their choices. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give them wisdom in making those choices. And Lord God, I just pray for those of us who have never been married or those of us who have been through a situation of divorce and are now alone. Lord God, I just pray that you would be strong on our behalf there too, Lord God. Lord, it says that you make a home for the lonely, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would meet those people in those situations' needs, Lord God. Be a strong companion to them, Lord God. Be a comforter to them as well. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And also, Lord, we thank you for the food we're going to receive. We just pray you bless it to our bodies, that you strengthen us with it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer, I'd like to invite you forward for prayer. The youth still want to pray for you. So if you like prayer, please come forward.